Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. This is National Adoption Awareness Month, so we turn our attention to an invisible society that exists all around us. My guests are Kendra Morris Jacobson, Director of Oregon Programs for Northwest Resource Associates, which oversees the Oregon Post-Adoption Resource Center. Welcome, Kendra.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here, speaking in beautiful Southern Oregon, where my parents have lived for years.
And we welcome Leanna Seufer, co-founder and executive director of BIPOC Adoptees. Welcome, Leanna.
Thank you. Thank you for having me this morning.
Well, I appreciate you both being here. Kendra, tell me about your organization and the work you do.
Yes, absolutely. So Oregon Post-Adoption Resource Center serves the entire state with a smorgasbord of free support services and resources that includes in-depth staff consultation, endless trainings, a resource-rich website, support groups, and one of our crown jewels, a tiny but mighty and robust free library where we feature a plethora of books and videos to uplift kids and families. If a family adopts from foster care anywhere in Oregon or adopts from an However, no adoptive family of any kind is ever turned away. And I'd also like to clarify that we can't do it alone. Besides our ODHS funder, there are many other wonderful Oregon colleague agencies who are foster adoption supporters and experts all around us, like Every Child, Boys and Girls Aid, A Family for Every Child, Clear Vita, Family Engagement through Catholic Community Services, Youth Villages, Choice Adoptions, and many more. And we all work together to support our children, youth, and families associated with adoption and foster care.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background. How'd you come to this work?
I've been in the field around 30 years. I started out as a mental health therapist at OHSU in outpatient child and adolescent psychiatry, and from there moved into the field, basically foster adoption, recruitment, and post permanency services for 15 years at one agency, and then the next 15 years have been at the agency I'm currently at. And it was really through some powerful interactions with one of my very first long-term clients when I was a mental health therapist, who was a transracial adoptee. And I was really struck by the complexity of what she experienced and how hard she was working to really come to terms with her identity and grow and heal. And that really left a memorable mark for me in working with her for 3 years.
So that inspired you into this work?
Absolutely.
So Leanna, when did you launch BIPOC Adoptees and why?
Yeah, so we've been doing this work for the past 2.5 years, and really what started out as a documentary film project, elevating and empowering adoptees who identify under the BIPOC umbrella to sort of speak from their lived experiences, transformed into an official nonprofit of September of 2023 last year. My personal connection to adoption is I am a Korean transracial adoptee. I am an adult. What really came out of the interviews is that we were all adults, adoptees, and identifying under the BIPOC umbrella, the Black and Indigenous People of Color umbrella, and that we were all still grappling with the trauma from adoption, identity, finding spaces where we can actually come together and share our stories that are safe, you know. So that's how BIPOC Adoptees was formed. And since then, we've held over, 15 events, and we've held a conference, a multi-day conference at Portland State University. Our mission is to create safe and inclusive and supportive spaces for BIPOC adoptees, just to share stories, build connections, and access adoptee-centered programming and resources. And we serve domestic, international, child welfare, adoptees that have been part of the child welfare system, that hold diverse experiences across race, gender, age, class. Our team is representative of our community. Representation matters. A lot of us carry different backgrounds, mental health professionals, artists, educators, and that's who our work is driven from those with those lived experiences. Part of what we do is, again, creating these spaces for our community that do not exist, that are trauma-informed. But beyond that, we really are trying to shift the narrative around adoption, and that means partnering and collaborating with other folks in our community, whether it's businesses, institutions, or organizations who are also, are doing the same work. So we've got educational curriculum now that is at Portland State University that focuses on the mental health impacts and needs of adult BIPOC adoptees. And that in that sense, like, education is power, and that we're actually reaching folks who are working directly with children.
Well, Liana, you mentioned trauma and mental health twice. And so there's some association here that you're making, and I'd like to just touch on that briefly. What is the trauma? In my estimation, it seems a little bit ironic because when children are adopted, those are families that are opening their home and their lives to love and commit themselves to the well-being of these children. And obviously they were they experienced some sort of trauma in order to get into those circumstances. So there's this dichotomy that I'm trying to tease out. What's happening there?
Yeah. So historically, when you think of adoption, you think of it's historically the narratives around being grateful. Grateful and the saviorism, as though adoptees have been saved. And the trauma really, particularly with BIPOC and transracial adoptees, often face, struggles with their, information about their birth culture, their racial identity. So identity and belonging, I would say that trauma begins from the moment we're separated from our birth mother, right? So there's separation and loss, which can lead to attachment challenges. And those are often compounded with, an array of other experiences that we have. There's usually cultural disconnect and isolation. So a lot of us experience cultural erasure or lack of connection to our own heritage, leaving us very isolated. And the adoption industry has, we are everywhere. A lot of folks say that adoptees and adoption is sort of like a niche, but we're not. We're in every single sector. We impact, education space, mental health. And again, our experiences are centered around being saved and being grateful. And so what that does, in it, just to break it down, it completely neglects our lived experiences, again, which are rooted from trauma, being separated from our birth family, our birth mothers, which have lifelong impacts. And a lot of us, again, for BIPOC and transracial adoptees, we've been placed in, we live in white homes, dominant, I'm a transracial adoptee. I've been raised in a white home. And so my access to culturally competent, like, education and community was lacking, right? And so what we see, and the data shows us, for a lot of us, there is a mental health crisis, meaning, like, a lot of us are surviving and day-to-day, don't have connection to community. We are 4 times more likely to commit suicide. We are 8 times more likely to be abused in our adoptive homes. And yet the narrative around adoption is always be grateful and you were saved. And so that is where our organization and why our organization is so important, is because we are literally creating spaces where we can come together that do address these things, that allow us to speak on our experiences. We're really trying to shift that narrative and bring light to the real life experiences of adoptees.
Well, that's very insightful, and I really appreciate you sharing that. Kendra, can you give me a sense of the population of adopted kids and families that your organization supports, and what's the problem that your organization is seeking to resolve?
So the population is complicated.
you know, ODHS is working really hard to bring fewer kids into foster care. They're actually pioneering a couple different types of approaches around family engagement and preservation in order to prevent more kids coming into care. And that's where our population primarily comes from, kids who have been in foster care who were not able to then reunify with biological relatives or family due to a variety of different reasons, and then they end up in long-term permanent adoptive and guardianship homes. And Liana really captures the heart of where we also struggle. I mean, all adoptive families struggle because, as Liana was saying, at the crux, at the heart of all adoptions, no matter when, where, or how they occur, is that deep, unspeakable loss. And deep, unspeakable loss begets trauma. And that's not even considering the additional intersectional layers that Liana was also referring to of intergenerational, racial, cultural, economic, or linguistic trauma, prenatal substance exposure, you know, trauma just from entering the foster care system itself and whatever else came before that. And adoptive parents themselves are often approaching adoption from their own place of loss, infertility, miscarriage. They might be relatives who have adult children who are incapacitated and unable to parent, and they're doing kinship care or other losses. And again, as Liana was saying, you know, the narrative has always been that sort of adoption is a bit of a solution or a cure, but it is not a solution or cure for loss. It actually creates more loss and trauma in many ways. And parents are not often aware of the strengths of those early losses and traumas for the children and for themselves that reemerge and potentially overwhelm all of us, the child and the family. But at the same time, yes, there are children in care who cannot safely reunify, and they do need adoptive families. And there isn't a magic panacea for any of it. Nothing can solve the spectrum of challenges and painful stories held by our adoptees, our fosterees, and our families. But it is getting back at the real narrative and actually telling the stories the way they are to help kids and parents get in touch with who they really are so that they can proceed forward on a healthier path. There's a quote from transracial adoptee poetic author, one of my favorite, Dr. Jayajan, from his book Reflection Pond. And he says, a child cannot become self-healing without first knowing herself. And that's really what all of us need to sort of be uniting around to do, is if we can help children actually access their real stories, not the stories that have been whitewashed and sort of either completely falsified or hidden away, then we can actually help families become healthier themselves.
Well, we have
I went on a little bit of a tangent.
I'm sorry. No, this is a wonderful. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I have about 20 seconds left. I want to ask Liana, what are the costs involved in providing these services, and how can people help?
Well, our approach for a nonprofit is literally decolonizing, systematically breaking down barriers for our community to connect. And that means that we make our events accessible. They are free. So our nonprofit really seeks support from the broader community to sustain our nonprofit. So they're, yes, getting involved means donating. It could be financial donation, it could be in-kind donation, and really just spreading awareness about the work we're doing, because at the end of the day, we want our community to feel safe, seen, and heard.
Well,
and that, there's no
there.
Amount of money for that you could put a price tag on that.
We've got to leave it there. Thanks, Kendra. Yep. Thanks, Liana, for the work you both do. My guests were Kendra Morrison Davidson and Liana Soifer, co-founder and executive director of BIPOC Adoptees.